Morning, good afternoon, good evening to everyone. On today's Geographic Regions call on Friday the 5th of November, we have David Archibald, Cheryl Langdon-Orr, Fahd Batane, Olga Cavalli. From staff, we have Rob Hogarth and myself, Gisela Gruber-White, and no apologies noted today. So could please just remind everyone to state their names when speaking for transcript purposes. Thank you. Over to you, David.
Thank you very much. I hope everybody got a copy of the agenda sent out by Rob yesterday. And I think the first item really was to move straight on to the report. And in the email that you sent out, you drew people's attention to particular areas in there, Rob.
Yes, sir, I did. I don't know how you would like to approach it. You have provided some feedback to me directly that I thought would be useful to discuss as a group. Cheryl just recently sent some feedback as well in terms of some comments she had. Others may have things to contribute on this call, so I don't know if you want to go through sort of in order. If you'd like to jump around, I'm more than happy to start with the email questions, and then we can sort of back up to some of the more specific edits that you were asking about, if you'd like to take that approach.
Well, I thought we'd start with the email, and particularly with the responses that we did get back from Cheryl.
Certainly.
On that email. She specifically added comments to your email, did she not? Sorry, I'm speaking as if you're not there, Cheryl.
I was going to say, I did, and that's fine. You can speak of me in any tense at all, even past. Not a problem.
Well, in that case, if I can take the liberty, Cheryl, of just going through your email and addressing the questions in
turn.
Go ahead. The first comment I think you had was with respect to my noting that we still had a section on page 28 that we didn't have some language. And I think it, actually your comment with respect to text on page 28 was to identify the specific cost for additional regions. That we had referenced there. And I agree with you. What I need to do is do some quick follow-up with Heidi or Matthias to see if I can come up with some general numbers there.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't bother going to Matthias at all because Heidi would have resource listings, or it would be Kevin because We basically don't understand how much it costs. It is a black box mystery, and that is one of the problems. So I think best guesstimate, you probably should go to the CFO, but via Heidi. Because it's going to be a guesstimate, mate.
Right. I'm looking at, and I'm trying to find the specific reference on page 28.
Top paragraph, second,
paragraph
third, fourth line from memory. I'm not there. I was on page 18. I'll go wandering down to 28 and see where we are.
I don't know why, but if that was just a typo because I'm looking for.
Yep, line 1, page 28. By XXXXXXX annually for each new region. If pursued, implementation of such modifications could be managed over a transition period to minimise disruption.
You've got a different pagination than the rest of us, somehow.
What paragraph is that?
Above the heading that says Matter 15, consideration for the African region under the superheading of allocation for countries. So it's the paragraph immediately preceding that. Paragraph numbering is 106, which is on the previous page to me.
Thank you. There we go. Okay, I've got that flagged.
Okay. Don't know why I have different pagination. Obviously, the Antipodes runs differently.
Yeah, obviously. Oh, yeah, that's on page 30 for me.
What? And
page 29 for me. So that's why I've numbered the paragraphs. It becomes much easier.
That's just bizarre. Okay.
Thank you very much for catching that. I appreciate that.
Well, would you like to tell me what paragraph?
Sorry, this is Olga. I'm lost. I cannot find the paragraph.
Paragraph.
I'm on page 28, and I don't see it.
Well,
you have to forget sorry, this is Dave. Forget the page number. We're talking about paragraph 106.
Oh, it's in another page. For me, it's 30.
See? We're all different.
thank you.
And and it's towards the end of paragraph 106. All right.
Okay.
So the moral there is let's use paragraph numbers from now on.
Yeah, well, it means why when I read pages 16 to 19 in my document, I went, I don't know what Rob's talking about. He told me to pay particular attention to it, and I had no idea why.
We will clear that up on this call, certainly.
Thank you, Rob.
I have got, or I had, it's gone again. I had bad background noise. Did everybody else?
Oh, yeah.
That was me. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, so thank you very much to James for cleaning that up very quickly for us. The next comment you had, Cheryl, reflected the issue under Matter 16 under sovereignty, where there were issues in paragraphs 101 and 101. The reason why I asked that question is that that was beyond my expertise or capability, and my note there was that I needed help from members of the working group to add text there, if folks were able to do so. If not, obviously I don't want to leave them just blank like this. I just don't. I look to you, Dave, a little bit more because that came from the CCNSO report to the board. I just did not understand that area.
Okay, I mean, I can. It is the issue which nobody wants to raise is that, let's be specific, France can't have it both ways. One of the reasons that the dependent territories were put in with their mother country was that France claimed that it was all part of the same place. You know, they were all overseas departments of France and therefore belonged to France and therefore it should be there. But as I said, you can't have it both ways. If it is fully integrated with France, why has it got its own CCTLD? You can't have it both ways. Either it's got its own CCTLD, in which case it is independent from France, or it's part of France, in which case it doesn't have its own CCTLP. And that's one of the issues, and the main one, under sovereignty.
And so the discussion there acknowledges the fact that certainly as the CCNSO is structured, there is, I'm literally thinking out loud, trying to fashion something here, is that if there are TLDs for, additional CCTLDs, that is a reflection of a right of self-determination of states?
No, it should be that the individuals, or the way I think CCTLD looks at it, is the decision on whether you go with the mother country or don't go with the mother country is probably for the country itself to decide.
Okay, Dave, but the thing is, though, that all that does is add additional potential members for the CCNSO. It doesn't actually affect geographic regionalized use in the CCNSO, does it?
No, but it's also the view of the GAC and something that they brought up that in any discussion of or decisions on regions, you should be recognizing the inherent right of states to to determine their own future, if you like. And that was something that they were obviously quite strong on. And I mean, that's why it was... that wording is actually GAC wording that was then taken up and included by CCNSO.
Oh, hang on. Now you're referring to the wording back in the 80s, aren't you? With the paragraphs help me, Robert. It's back in the GAC principles section, which talks about.
No, this was a quote.
We hadn't done the 10-year. We hadn't reviewed the linkages to the UN geographic localities for over 10 years.
No, this was a quote from the CCNSO's consultation with the GAC. At the time of preparing the CCNSO's report. It's a current quote.
Okay, I don't see a quote. I see it needs to be added. Paragraph 100 and 101.
Yes, sorry.
About the sovereignty and the right of self-determination.
I'm talking about the two lines up above.
Yeah, okay, fine.
To all of... I thought you were saying that came from 10 years ago.
When you were talking about why the GAC thought it was important,
right.
I thought you were linking it back to their principles, which was included the need for another review if we're going to use a benchmarking such as the UN one.
And I was saying, no, it wasn't to do with that. It was a current comment from them during... the CCNSO's discussions with them about the CCNSO report. Anyway, I'm happy to think on it a bit further and try and make some more sense out of it and try and get something back to you by Monday.
Let me suggest this. Maybe I'll take a crack at what you were just suggesting and send it to you. Monday is pretty much the last date. If the working group still wants to move toward having the document published on the 15th, but I think I can work with cooperatively with our internal folks to stretch things that long. So yeah, that's a good time frame for you, David. I'll certainly accommodate that. Maybe I can take a crack at it too as well and share some thoughts with you to react to. It's always easier to edit than it is to create. My sense is that where this little section tends to be going is a recognition that if you've got a separate TLD, then you want to be recognized as being an entity in a different region from the mother country. And so that has implications for geographic regions in terms of distribution and where folks find themselves. Is that accurate?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
In which case we could leverage the GAC statement that's quoted in the CCNSO report as a justification for taking those outliers and moving them to other existing regions. And that's
up to a point, but I think they're also saying that you've got to recognize the government's role in this, and if France, for example, does not want its outlying territories to be moved, which government are you then going to recognize? And that's the problem. Are you just going to recognize the French government, or are you going to recognize the local government? And then you start getting involved in between territories and their mother countries, and that's not a place you want to go.
True, but isn't that what the GAC statement you're quoted has said, that it should recognize the sovereignty and rights of self-determination?
Of states.
Yeah.
Well, France would claim that their their dependent territories are not states. They are the only state involved.
And so, therefore, those annexed to France would not probably have a successful petition to ICANN to move to a geographic region which was more convenient and intelligent for them to be in.
Correct. But dependent territories of UK, where there is a different relationship, would be perfectly free to.
Yeah. And to be honest, I'm happy with that if we get that elucidated out in the discussion and options in particular.
Yeah.
Because,
fine.
You know, there's a
think
point
the only
where you've
thing
just got to say this is politics and it's beyond our remit.
Yeah, because, well, the politics is the next step, is the argument that comes up. If France is holding these close to her chest and saying that they are all part of France, why are they a CCTLD at all? You know, what's the difference
I think one of the counter arguments would be is because there's a list of country name associated with.
But that's.
Well, you wanted
that,
the argument.
That ends up being a circular argument.
I'm not giving the validity or finishing the debate. I'm just saying that is the point the debate would be making.
Yes, fine.
Thank you.
Shall we move on to number 17?
Yeah, sure. The takeaway from that will be that I'll craft something for you to then completely hack and slash at and provide some feedback by Monday.
Okay, and we're not, and I think we stay away as much as we can from the politics of the issue. That's for somebody else to pick up on.
Well, and I will trust you to do that since I don't fully appreciate that issue. So.
Okay.
I think the group would prefer to have nothing rather than something that's incorrect, but I'm very confident that with your hand on the tiller, Dave, we'll have some language that will walk that line.
Okay, fine.
The next item, and this is again going through Cheryl's email, was a question about, Rob, what question are you talking about on page 29?
That's seeing as my 29 is different to yours, you better give me a paragraph number.
And the paragraph is 103.
Okay.
The commoner question I had for you, Dave, was whether the matter that we discuss in this paragraph was actually resolved by the board bylaw amendments in March 2009 that talked about citizenship of individuals. Because if you may recall, referencing back to paragraph 32, that recounted the experience back in March 2009 where the board amended Article 6 of the bylaws with respect to citizenship of countries in one particular region. And I believe changed things to reflect just residency, not citizenship, for purposes of...
Yeah, NONCOM did, but, for example, CCNSO hasn't.
Okay. So the answer then to the question is no, and that's fine. I just wanted to clarify with you.
Yeah. I do not believe so, but I hadn't even thought of it in the way that you are talking. So I will undertake just to check that and confirm back with you.
Okay.
Rob, you might want to have a quick look at any recommendations that are currently in draft form from the ATRT as well. From memory, I don't know whether it made the final cut or not because it's a blur now. We certainly were challenged by some of the aspects from the NOMCOM where domicile versus citizenship is considered, is not considered. So there may have been a draft recommendation out on that. Not that it would have changed our argument or debate, but we probably just need to be aware of it.
Yeah, and it might prompt a footnote for this section. Perhaps.
Yeah, I'll
definitely take a look for that. Thanks.
What was the concern, Cheryl? Can you say in a few words?
In a few words, we found the fact that the nominating committee can appoint people, for example, to the board or anywhere else, that happen to hold citizenship in, shall we say, Europe, but have lived in Japan for the last 10 years. Bizarre.
Okay.
And so the issues of citizenship was looked at fairly closely, and that does lead to the question of how fit for purpose these arbitrary lines in what region one belongs in and how representative you are to the culture and interests of a region is. And being located in a space is perhaps more important than being somehow administratively tick box registered
yeah.
in it.
Yeah, yeah.
And that could be useful in a number of the paragraphs, but it just struck me when you were talking then that we might need to footnote that somewhere, as Rob said.
Yeah. Don't disagree with you at all. Okay,
right,
Rob, can we move on down the page then?
Yes, sir. The last section, Cheryl, that you commented on was my question with respect to the 30 January date regarding comment period.
Yep.
You seem to think that January 30 was fine. I don't know if others have comments or observations about that prospective date.
As usual, I agree with Cheryl.
Well, it's before a lot of the Asian New Year and cultural and family requirements start, TET and various other things begin. And it's after various of the Christian following countries have had their celebrations. So it seems perfectly reasonable to me. Equally unfair, I think, is how I would have put it.
Now, I don't know if Olga or Fahd or if you have any observations about that time frame.
No, that's okay for me. This is Olga.
Yeah, this is Fahd. I think it's good because the next few months, I mean, are going to be full of vacations and holidays. So, yeah,
exactly.
I think it's a good. Yeah, right. Well, ours is going to be in 2 weeks' time, so, yeah.
Mm. Great, thanks.
Okay. Well, that was the end of the email. So can I perhaps now take you back through some of my comments and observations? Doing it, we now understand, by paragraph number rather than page number. Some are, I'm sure, just typos and are minor. Others we would need to talk about a bit more. Can we start, please, at paragraph 38F. That's my page 16, but goodness knows what it is for you.
I'm there.
And there we have got, or I have got in my copy, a highlight on doomed to failure. I haven't got a note to go along with it for some reason. I suspect people didn't like the wording.
That was me. I simply flagged it to say, are you guys still okay with that language? It seemed, as I was reading through, rather strong. But your other general observation, Dave, was that the document was rather conservative, so I'm not quite sure what your view of that is.
Well, I'm happy to leave it, but equally, if people feel strongly about it, I'm happy to change it. So, over to you, committee.
No, I don't have a. I'm ambivalent.
Yeah, that's sort of where I am as well. So, in the absence of any strong feeling, we'll leave it. You can blame it on me. Immediately below that, paragraph 39, my version says on the second line, reduce geographic diversity, I some scenarios. Is that meant to be in?
I believe that is correct. I will fix that.
Okay. I then leap ahead to paragraph 58.
Mm-hmm.
And on mine, the actual page numbering 58 has come out at the bottom of the paragraph rather than at the top, so I think there's a formatting issue.
Oh. Same here.
Then in the last sentence, a couple of either typos or clarifications. It is arguable that in some cases, particularly, and it says to allocation, it should be the allocation of territories. Yeah? To becomes
mm-hmm.
the. To the region of the parent country, comma, they detract from rather than enhance cultural diversity.
That's good catch on that. Rob, it's really important if we're going to go to press with those paragraph numbers that formatting is fixed, because in my copy, for example, paragraph 58 reads as blank. The reason being, it's at the top of the following page.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll take a look at that. I'm using a Mac. It doesn't show up that way. But then I noticed that there is a deletion at the bottom of the paragraph, deleted a paragraph, so I'll take a look at that.
Yeah.
Thank you all very okay. much for observing that. I don't know what the problem is, but I'll figure it out.
Right. Okay. My next point is a bit more substantive than that. And if you would go to paragraph 65, 66, 67, where we're looking into matter one.
That's what I was referring to before.
Now, here we are talking about the expansion, this is in paragraph 66, expansion of the geographic regions concept to more communities and structures has been a boon to participation in ICANN and the recognition of the organization as a truly global organization. Unfortunately, this expansion appears to have been largely on a community-by-community basis and has not been driven by a consistent application of the geographic regions framework. I'm just concerned here that we are making assertions within the discussion part here without... Where's the evidence of this? What are we referring to when we make these comments?
I could second guess, which is some ACs and SOs are very highly and very accurately regionalised along the way ICANN has currently defined its five regions, and others are not.
Yeah, but I think if that's what we're saying, I think we need to say that.
But, okay.
Well, I mean, basically, I feel we've leapt into here with a conclusion, and it is not clear upon which what it is based. Am I being too...
Well, okay. If what I said is what's meant to be said, then that's fine. We could just say that. But, for example, I mean, ALAC has said any number of times that it is possibly the only genuinely balanced regional representative model a part of ICANN that has done it, you know, absolutely equitably and effectively, because we have an at-large advisory committee structure which under bylaw is mandated to be specific and equitable from each of the regions. Unfortunately, reading the bylaws as I did in preparation of this call, the bylaws are written to not just say each of the regions, but to specify the number of regions. So that's sort of a duh moment, because if as a result of this review process we're doing now, we change the number of regions in any way, all sorts of things are going to have to be changed. So it was just dumb dumb the way they wrote that in the first place. But, we are mandated to be two from the geographic regions from the at-large structures and one from the NOMCOM. Doesn't get more equitable than that.
Yeah, fine.
Seen in other groups. You don't see that in other ACs. You certainly don't see it in the other SOs. And whether that's
correct.
A good thing or not isn't a discussion. The fact is that it's not. There's no predictability.
Yeah, well, they might argue there was more flexibility. All I'm saying is that this is more almost a document structure issue for me, that we're into a discussion. That discussion should be based upon evidence previously presented, and we haven't said anything, I don't think, that leads to that conclusion. I'm looking for the support for the statement that this expansion appears to have been largely on a community-by-community basis and has not been driven by consistent application of geographic regions. Oh, okay. Where did that come from, is what I'm sort of saying.
And as the author of this section, I can shed some light on what my thinking was in initially putting that language together. And it was my sense in reading Section 1 that, and what I was trying to convey here was that the evolution of the geographic regions framework throughout the different SOs and ACs has largely been on a case-by-case basis. It hasn't been a strategic decision or move by the board, the staff, or the community in a collective way. But it's literally happened, as you outline in Section 1, literally almost a bylaw-by-bylaw basis.
Yep.
You know, at large comes into being, oh, well, we'll go this way. CCNSO leaves the DNSO. We'll now do this. And so that was sort of, that was the germ of the concept. If I didn't execute it right or if the language is not correct, or even if the concept is wrong, please feel free to change. That's just sort of where my mind was in trying to throw flesh on these bones.
Okay.
Boon to participation is probably certainly based on your comments and an overstatement. But I don't know. I don't know if that's really what you're looking at. But I could go back looking at this several months later and quibble with some of the language as well and legitimately make
it. I mean, if you culled it to say the expansion, the insert whatever word works for you there, appears to have been largely on a community-by-community basis and has not been driven by consistent application of the geographic regions framework, then that's absolutely accurate.
Yes, as you explained it, I have sort of no problem with it. I didn't actually... I think I got more from that statement than you intended me to get. And I suppose that's a little bit of concern. I got the impression here that this was an ongoing sort of creeping process, if you like, rather than at the time of creation of each of the additional bodies, a one-off interpretation was made and applied.
Would a way forward on that to make sure that doesn't happen, Dave, is to have some footnotes from that sentence to the highly variable bylaws for the different applications of geographic.
That's a good idea.
Let me make a suggestion then. Changing the expansion to evolution, deleting the text from has been a boon to unfortunately this expansion, and then adding a footnote. So what paragraph 66 would then say is the evolution of the geographic regions concept to more communities and structures over the past decade appears to have been largely on a community-by-community basis and has not been driven by a consistent application of the geographic regions framework. And the footnote would then say, see section 1 above, or something like that. Does that get us closer?
Yeah. That would be, I would be much more comfortable with that, Rob.
Okay. And I take out the fact that, you know, it's been a boon to expansion of participation, the rest,
yeah.
Which you make a very good point. I can't point to and didn't have in my head even at that time numbers showing, wow, look at membership or volunteer community has increased, and even have, be able to point to what we could attribute that to. Okay, I'll make that change.
Yeah. Okay, then leaping ahead, I've got notes at paragraph 72. I didn't understand the first sentence. I think there is a typo, but I can't even begin to think what it is. It is clear that each geographic region is likely to have its own unique characteristics, challenges, or needs, depending on the DNS issue. Where did DNS come from?
An excellent question. I don't know if that's a sentence fragment that was from another paragraph or whatever. If we take that out and just says depending on the community that is impacted by a particular issue, does that...
That I could be happy with that.
I'll let others as well.
Comfortable with that change.
My next one is paragraph 78. This is back almost to the same issue that we spent some time on before, and it's the actual wording somewhat jarred with me. So long as mechanisms exist to review or otherwise provide some form of oversight of structure operations by the board, the best option may be to formalize the flexibility that has informally been applied by individual ICANN communities over the past decade. My comments are several here. First of all, a suggestion of formalizing and sort of saying that flexibility is, implying that flexibility is not good, runs absolutely counter to the wishes of many people who say that what we should be looking for is flexibility. So I don't think that's what you mean, but that's the way it comes over, and I think there would be a reaction to that. I'm also not really clear what you're getting at, and I've said, can you give an example of what you're meaning here? These mechanisms exist. What mechanisms?
And again, as the one who first put this down many months ago, as I recall, where I was looking to go with this, based on some of the discussions you all had, was there's a recognition, and we just talked about it, I guess, as you noted in the other paragraph, that this has happened, this evolution has happened relatively informally in that it's happened on a community-by-community basis. And so one option going forward would be to formally have the board acknowledge or recognize that this community-by-community approach is the appropriate strategic way to go moving forward, and to recognize, yes, we acknowledge as the board that that's what's happened over time. Although that wasn't the original plan, it seems to have worked out quite well. And so let's allow the individual communities to continue to have the flexibility to interpret and apply the geographic diversity principle in their own ways, because they understand their communities best and are in the best position to actually, you know, implement that concept. And so long as that there's some form of oversight or, you know, operations by the board so that there is a, you know, a check and balance there, that doesn't permit the CCNSO to say, oh, we're going to create 50 regions and base it on, you know, somebody's eye color, then presumably that would be something acceptable to the board. And so long as that mechanism exists, then that would be one option to take. And I think, you know, this is under the options and impacts. So the current language, in addition to being somewhat verbose, probably needs to highlight more that this is really an option and not necessarily a specific recommendation by the working group at this stage.
Okay. The words that you have spoken to me are fine. I still...
But I'm
comfortable with what's on the paper.
Explanation. Yes, I understand. Would it help for me to, in view of what I just tried to articulate, make some edits to paragraph 78?
Yeah, it would.
Yeah.
Okay.
It would, definitely.
Thank you.
Okay.
I'll take that as a to-do as well.
I'm quickly paging through my document for my notes. We've already talked about... I think matters 16 and 17, sovereignty and application of citizenship criteria, so I don't think we need to touch them again. But below that, paragraph 105. The addition of even one region to the framework would likely require every ICANN community to adjust or expand its management or administrative structures in some way. To me, that is a little bit too strong. I would be happy to say one region of the framework would likely require many ICANN communities to adjust or expand their management.
Or may require ICANN communities to?
Yes, yeah. I would like it to be a little bit more conditional and a little bit softer than that, that's all. It's not a huge issue, but that one jarred a bit with me.
So the edited sentence would now say the addition of even one region to the framework may require many ICANN communities to adjust or expand their management or administrative structures in some way.
In some way, yeah. Be quite happy with that. Moving on, paragraph 109. This actually leads on to another item on the agenda, which is the fact that the chairman, I think, of the Arab League has written to ICANN formally requesting an Arab region. Now, Rob, I think last time we spoke, you were going to try and see if there had been any reply to that letter. Did you manage to establish anything?
Yes, I was able to confirm that there was a reply. And I'll supply you all with the link and a PDF copy of that reply. It seems like it came out in mid-October, and Rod seemed to interpret the question as being much more focused on the draft applicant guidebook, and so the response, as I recall, seems to focus much more on a recognition that for, you know, new GTLDs there'd be an Arab region.
What?
So the response did not address the geographic region framework.
Can I just say, that's standard operational procedural standards for the CEO. Give a response that doesn't address the issue. I'm happy. I know this is recorded. I'll stand out on stage and say that. Yeah, well, there you go. Situation normal on a reply from the CEO. Okay.
Well, yeah, I'll get that document in your guys' hands, but I think to your point, at least for the document here, Dave, is that I should expand the footnote to say, see also letter from League of Arab States to ICANN CEO Rod Beckstrom,
yeah.
and I'll drop in the hyperlink there, because we all certainly interpreted that letter as being a request for a recognition of an Arab region more generally, So that would be appropriate to bolster this paragraph.
Yep. I would say exclusively, not more generally.
It's the only reason paragraph 109 exists.
Yeah. That was indeed my point, Rob. So fine.
Okay.
And I think I'm getting near the end of my comments. Oh, no, 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 no. paragraph 120, my page 34. Addition of non-geographic regions would present a significant departure from the existing framework. Blah, 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 blah. My point here is that we appear to be saying here that it is one or the other. You know, it's either geographic regions or non-geographic regions. We're back to what are regions used for. What I'm trying to get at here is that there is potential for people to get together. Let's not use the term regions as such, but to put together special interest groups, such as a special interest group of small island nations,
yeah,
or a special interest group even of Arab countries, that would allow them to promote the concepts and ideas that they are interested in, whilst not making them formal regions per se, but acknowledging the ability to people to create these somehow within the bylaws, so that they're not necessarily given the same status as regions or anything else, but they are given some recognition somehow. And that would allow, for example, the Arab countries to continue to be in the geographic region of Africa or Asia, depending on where they are located, but at the same time to be able also to be a member of an Arab special interest group.
That's interesting, Dave, because what you've just said is how I read 120.
Oh, okay.
Which means if two people can interpret it differently, it needs to be looked at from a wordsmithing point of view.
Yeah.
I guess as soon as I saw, similar process to the board adoption for petitions to the new GNSO constituencies, what you said is exactly what I was thinking.
Okay, good. Well, all right. So we have two people getting...
Yeah.
Different things out of the same word.
Out of the same word,
yeah.
I mean, the petitions for new GNSO constituencies fit absolutely with the special interest group model that you just outlined.
Yeah. Which I think is something that may help solve some of our problems.
Hell yeah.
Comment from Rob?
I'm desperately trying to come up with language on the fly here. 120, if it's changed to say, and please pardon me, on some of this is thinking out loud, the addition of non-geographic regions might present the need for additional mechanisms, processes, and or options to shift operations for certain organizational structures. I mean, what I want to do is address the, I think that first sentence which talks in absolutes, and try to get it to lead into more this recognition that there are other, one of the implications or impacts of this shift would be a creation of additional mechanisms and processes that would allow specific, what you call special interest groups, to participate in various community structures or something along those lines. Am I in the right direction?
I think what I'm trying to get at here is I'm sort of trying to read through all of 24 and matters 24 and 25, and it would be nice if we can clearly get over to the uninitiated the concept of the possibility of special interest groups in addition to alongside regions.
Along those lines, then, Dave, can I suggest, Rob, what you consider is deleting the word regions.
Yep.
And inserting a word that is going to be then exemplified or given a parenthetical of such as special interest groups.
Yeah.
Now, that could be addition of non-geographic definables is the way I'm thinking, but there's got to be a better word than that. Now, get out your thesaurus. Don't use the word region. And have it that you've got the parenthetical after that, which includes special interest groups along, cultural, language or other unifying factors, close parentheses. Non-geographic boundaries, non-geographic delineation. There's got to be, somewhere in the thesaurus world a word that'll work there, but don't use regions.
Yeah.
Did that do it for you, Dave?
That helps considerably.
Okay, I'll play around with that. I don't want to hold you guys up doing it on the fly. I've got the germ.
We're just giving you the gist, Al. We're just giving you the gist.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
And I think I'm done on all my comments.
Just to sum up then, just briefly, in terms of looking at this, Dave, you're going to look, in terms of specific further to-dos, we've gone through and I've captured all the edits, but there are a couple of areas where there's potentially some different drafting efforts that need to take place. The first is Dave looking at paragraphs 101 and 102 to determine if there's any way to flesh out the sovereignty matter number 16.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll be doing that over the weekend with me providing you with some initial framework or that I hope is close to what you're thinking, but if not, you can just blow up and redo. The next area is paragraph 103, in which, Cheryl, you've recommended that I look at the ATRT recommendations, particularly as they impact the NOMCOM.
Yeah, just see if there's something footnotable from there that brings in that concept of, where you live as opposed to what your passport says might be important. And if that's the case, then where your language or geographic group is at variance, that might equally be argued along the same lines.
Okay. Paragraph 78, I'm going to work to recast, and paragraph 120, I'm going to also work to recast. I will share those attempts in the next version of the document. Actually, I may, if I can come up with something over the next hour and a half or so, I'll just circulate that to the group. And if I get your guys' assent, we'll include that in the DA6RHV8 version of the document, which would be the next document version. Something that your question about paragraph or recommendation regarding paragraph 103, Cheryl, causes me to just raise as a flag, not necessarily for the interim report, given the stage where it is right now, but perhaps for the discussions in Cartagena and then for the final report, and that would be your view as to whether this working group should consider, or whether there's in fact items in the ATRT recommendations that could be woven into the geographic regions review effort. Is there, are there any hooks there that this group needs to be aware of?
Well, certainly the matters of, from the board review perspective, we were concerned about skill sets and diversity. So I guess there's potential hooks there hanging around the diversity cluster. Beyond that, for this review,
Okay. Okay, well, as I go through and if, you know, you're having me look to pick out anything regarding the NOMCOM, if I flag anything else, I'll just raise that flag for you guys.
Yep.
Because it would be a great opportunity to meld the two if there is any, you know, tangential or direct overlap. Why waste the opportunity, particularly with the benefit of the brain power that produced the report?
Well, I guess the thing that is perhaps not being recognised by what I just said, but may as well be mentioned, is that, of course, the affirmation of commitments itself does call for the accountability and transparency framework that ICANN operates under to be one that is highly globally representative and can prove it. And so, you know, you do have to be able to have some form of metric or measurable which proves that the way ICANN's policy development processes and activities are conducted takes into account and offers equitable ability for consideration of views of wider than just registrants and those involved in the domain name industry, but as far as general internet end users. And to do that, you've got to have a mechanism, and perhaps our regionalisation in our multi-stakeholder model is one that needs to be looked at as a tool, effective or otherwise, but a tool.
Could I add, with this group's permission, to the end of Section B, a question that asks, and how does the affirmation of commitments, you know, this is asking for community points of view, obviously, but also to flag for the future final report that there's also going to be a consideration of, you know, the affirmation of commitments on the geographic regions framework. Would that be appropriate to flag for paragraph 62?
Okay.
I'll reflect that as well. Just, you know, again, this is a question that then gives you the flexibility to raise it in Cartagena and flags it for the community that it may be a part of the final report. Okay, great. Thanks for mentioning that, Cheryl.
Well, my life has been subsumed by the affirmation and the ATRT for so long. I've only, because of the release, you know, in the last 24 hours of our draft report, I'm only just emerging from all of that quagmire.
Is there a metaphor there with the Chilean miners or something?
In so many ways. Not even a metaphor, mate.
Okay.
I think that if others on the call have specific sections or others that you want to flag, if you're done, Dave, I'm happy to address those. Otherwise, you know, what I would do is process the changes that you've already given, make adjustments to the language and the paragraphs that we've flagged, and perhaps adjust the timetable so that we would expect to get the next version out. What did you say for your Monday deadline, Dave? You were thinking, was it close of business or first thing Monday?
If I don't get it done over the weekend, I'm not going to get it done.
Okay, so we'll look at then, depending on what I get from you by first thing Monday, circulating a final version 1A to the working group, and then we'd look for maybe 48-hour turnaround, noting that we would only have a couple of areas that would now have been adjusted in addition to the typos that you found, and then look to close and have everybody say either, yes, I'm good, or by not responding, say by close of business on next Wednesday, you know, being able to say, yes, we're done, it's going to translation. And because of that timing, I'm very grateful that you're all happy about the January 30 time frame, because while we'll have an English version to be posted publicly by the 15th of November, we might only have one or two languages given the size of this package translated by that 15 November timeframe. But I think that's okay because folks will then be on notice and we'll be giving ample time to other language speakers to be able to respond, see the report and respond by, you know, the end of the first month of next year.
Rob, is it likely to be French and Spanish that are the languages that come up top first? Or
I would expect those to be first, yes.
That also takes some pressure off, whilst the additional UN languages I think are important, and I'll complete, you know, and continue to, you know, wave flags around corridors saying this has got to be done. The facts are, if you look at the bulk of the people who are using these languages, we have a larger grouping in Spanish and French speaking after English than any other. I'd put actually Portuguese somewhere in there as well, but yeah.
Very good, thanks.
Okay, so we're on to the next agenda item. Sorry, I'm conscious of the time, people.
I've ditched my next call. I'm all right. They're not dialing me in. They should have already done so.
Well, Dave, if I can suggest, and particularly given the timing, that if you know you want to spend a couple of minutes talking about the planning for the workshop in Cartagena, that perhaps the next, we can schedule a working group meeting in the next 2 or 3 weeks. That'll give you guys a good chunk of time to talk about the agenda, the format and the rest. What I could commit to doing prior to that meeting, collaborating with you, is to just circulate to the group, you know, what a mock-up of the session might look like. Just so that, because I fear that that would be a fairly lengthy discussion that might take you guys much longer this day.
Yeah. Have we got a date time in Cartagena?
I have submitted a request to the meetings team as a placeholder, but I've also indicated because of the, you know, the fungibility of the schedule that it can't conflict with GNSO, CCNSO, or at-large meetings and activities, which I think will substantially limit the numbers of options. Let me quickly confirm for you, looking back at my meeting request form, what date and time I asked for.
I guess the answer can be yes or no, and if it's no, we all bitch loudly.
Yeah, I mean, well, that's a very good point. Tentatively, I asked for Thursday morning, 8:30 to 10. Really, the windows of time we have are like Wednesday afternoon and Thursday morning. So I tentatively asked for Thursday morning for an hour and a half, but, you know, we can adjust or play with that. I will get from, we're going to get from the meeting staff a version of the schedule on Monday for us as staff to internally look at and see where there are conflicts and then find out who in the community we have to go back to or who do we need to put together to negotiate times. So that's the tentative time right now, but that was solely based upon me trying to take a quick look and avoid some conflicts. I'm sure that conflicts with some times.
Oh, I'm sure it will. Yeah, sure.
And I anticipated, okay. I anticipated just based upon the very low turnout in Brussels, I said, you know, approximately 25 to 30 people. We could always squeeze in, you know, another 10 people in a room that size. If you guys think it should be much larger, let me know, but that just hasn't been the track record to date, to be honest.
I think that's a fair call myself.
Yeah. I think that's realistic. It's not going to be bigger than that. Okay. I think we are done, are we not, for this call then?
I was going to say it'd be nice if we were done, but we're not done. We're just getting there. Hey, but we are getting there. That's the point.
Yeah. Is there any other business from anybody?
I do have one item that I wasn't comfortable putting on the tentative agenda, but did want to get your all's views, and that is, you know, trying to ensure that we do have or maintain some GAC interest and participation in the working group. You know, Bart unfortunately couldn't be on the call, he had taken on the laboring, or based on a discussion that he, David, and I had about reaching out to Heather Dryden as the current chair of the GAC. We'll look for an update from him at the next meeting. But just, again, trying to ensure that we continue to give the opportunity for all the various SOs and ACs to participate and have input on the group. I've been just a little disappointed that we hadn't been able to get full participation in the working group, but I also recognize that everybody's got a lot of other items on their agenda, and we've tried to, you know, stick to that, to the 1 or 2 hour blocks that the working group agreed to early on, which was essentially 12 UTC or 1 UTC.
And
that's unfortunately the limitations we have.
No, I think fixed blocks are important. I think people whose life, and there is, after all, real life beyond one volunteer's work, impinges on them. At least they know when things are on and what, on-list activities might be expected of them during that time. When you're talking to Heather, you might just mention the time of the call, because, for example, it might be more suitable for her to suggest Frank or someone who is sort of part of her support team, depending on the time of the call.
Okay, that's an excellent idea. I'll mention that to Bart. And also, as I think you've observed, Cheryl, and a couple of others, that as we move toward the final report and that document and those recommendations, the level of interest is likely to pick up.
Oh, hell yeah.
And we certainly want to make sure that folks have the opportunities and are aware of the options for them to participate.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. That was my only other point, Dave.
Okay, thank you very much.
All right.
That being the case, thank you one and all. We will plan another meeting. Timescale?
This is the 5th. You want to be looking at the week, and Gisela and I can work on a doodle scheduling poll for the week of the 15th. That would give us the option of a second meeting if needed prior to Cartagena for the work session and the rest.
Okay. Yes, please. That's fine.
Okay. Super. Thank you all.
Okay, thank you one and all. The meeting is closed.
Thank you.